This morning's reading is taken from Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is within me. A prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about my mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God.
We are continuing in our series, Every Sparrow Counts, and today we're using Psalm 42 to help us to focus on mental health. As I read through this psalm to prepare for today, I was reminded of an amusing memory from when I was a teenager and attended a Pentecostal church in Birmingham. One of the lovely prayer warriors of the church used Psalm 42 as an inspiration for her prayer. Verse 1 reads, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God." This lady, caught up in her prayer, fervently prayed, "Lord, some of us have short pants, and some of us have long pants, and some of us have no pants at all." And I've never forgotten that. So, on to the subject of mental health. I'm sure you're all aware that it's a recurring topic in the news. Just recently, their Royal Highnesses Prince William and Prince Harry made a television advert for the NHS under the title Every Mind Matters, and I borrowed the title Every Mind Matters for my talk today because it fits so well with Every Sparrow Counts. The messages from the NHS ad are that we are not alone. We are in this together. We need to look after ourselves and help those around us. These are all excellent messages, and they have done an amazing job bringing the issue of mental health to public attention. So what do we mean when we use the term mental health? Mental health includes our emotional, psychological, and social well-being. It affects how we think, feel, and act. It also helps determine how we handle stress, relate to others, and make choices. Mental health is important at every stage of life, from childhood and adolescence and through to adulthood, and that's from the government website about mental health. So just as we can be well or ill physically, we can be well or ill mentally. A mental illness affects people in many ways. It varies from less serious conditions of short duration, which might include something like anxiety, to more serious debilitating conditions such as bipolar disorder, which can affect people their whole lives. It's not my intention today to focus on specific mental illnesses, but rather to talk about mental health and mental illness in general. Another quote: mental health is not just the absence of mental disorder. It is defined as a state of well-being in which every individual realizes his or her own potential. They can cope with the normal stresses of life, they can work productively and fruitfully, and they are able to make a contribution to their community. And that one is from the World Health Organization. It's on the MIND website. This definition goes much further than the first one. It suggests that being mentally healthy is not just about avoiding having a mental illness, but rather having an enhanced state of mental well-being. If we put this into the physical context of our body, a person may be well with an absence of illness, or a person may be ill. Or a person may not just be well, but they might be super fit. And it's an interesting thought, isn't it, that perhaps people spend a lot of time on their physical fitness, but how much time do they spend on their mental well-being? The subject of mental health is a massive subtopic, and because of this today, I want to narrow the focus to thinking about our emotional well-being, because how we are feeling is linked to our mental health. So looking at that first quote, mental health includes our emotional well-being. It affects how we feel, and that's what I want to concentrate on today. What can we learn from Psalm 42 about our emotional well-being and how we can keep ourselves in good mental health? What I really like about Psalm 42 is the psalmist's honesty. He doesn't pretend to be something he's not, and he doesn't hide his feelings by pretending that everything is okay. More than that, he is not afraid to express his feelings, unlike many men I know. In our family, we're always very amused by the fact that my husband is very slow to respond emotionally to things. It usually takes him about 2 days. I asked him if he would mind me sharing this anecdote this morning, and he replied that he would let me know tomorrow. So we all respond emotionally to things, but we do it in different ways, depending on our personalities and the influence of our upbringing. So I'm going to look at feelings. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, we read, God created man in his own image. God is an emotional God, and he has created us in his image to be an emotional people. We read in the Bible about God having feelings. He was angry with the Israelites when they disobeyed him. He was jealous when they turned to other gods. In Genesis chapter 6, verse 6, we read that God was grieved that he'd made man. And in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, God speaks of his feelings of pleasure and delight when Jesus is baptized. Emotions can be positive and or negative and are a normal part of the human experience. We all like to feel positive emotions like joy and happiness, don't we? I don't know about you, but I like to feel positive emotions all the time. It's wonderful to feel on top of the world. Unfortunately, life is not perfect, and at times we experience negative feelings such as sadness, anxiety and despair. So why did God create us with emotions, and what is their purpose? I would like to use the analogy of a car to help us understand how valuable emotions can be. When I was young, not that long ago, of course, cars were much more basic than they are now. There was a fuel gauge to show when the petrol tank was low, but not much else to warn the driver of impending faults. I remember being in a car when my father was driving and the brakes failed with no warning. We were going downhill at the time towards a roundabout, and my father had the presence of mind to pull on the handbrake, which stopped us just in time. If we'd been in a modern car where technology is much more advanced, a warning light or noise would probably have alerted us to the fact that something was wrong, and it could have been put right before we put ourselves in danger. In the same way, our feelings are like warning lights in cars. They warn us that something is wrong, and it gives us a chance to do something about it. Just as my father and I would have benefited from a warning light to tell us the brakes were not functioning properly, as we're all cruising along in life, negative feelings warn us that something is not quite right. We may feel sad or angry, depressed or anxious. These negative emotions alert us to the fact that we are not functioning as well as we could be, and perhaps we need to do something about it. If we're feeling stress, for example, it may mean that we need to slow down, get more sleep and exercise, and perhaps think about cutting down on some of the things we're doing. If we're feeling angry, it might be a sign that someone is treating us unfairly and we need to stand up for ourselves and be more assertive. Hope you can all read that. Emotions are given to us by God to move us to action. Anger moves us to address injustice. Fear makes us take precautions. Sadness helps us to slow down and process our losses. In Psalm 42, the psalmist talks about being so sad that he cries day and night. He says he is downcast and disturbed within and has feelings of mourning and oppression. He feels regret when he remembers how joyful he was in the past, and he wants to recapture these feelings. He is not afraid to express his feelings to God, because he knows he can trust God with them. Many of the other psalmists, and in particular King David, also felt able to express their feelings to God. In the past, there has been a stigma around mental illness, not just in society, but also in the church. As Christians, we often think that we are supposed to rejoice in the Lord and be full of joy. In John chapter 10, verse 10, we read that Jesus came to give us abundant life. And sometimes we assume that this means we have to be happy all the time. When things don't seem to be going so well for us, we can be reluctant to confess this to others because they might think we're not spiritual enough or we don't trust God. Have you ever asked someone in church how they are and they say, "I'm fine," when you know they're far from fine? Have you ever come to church feeling broken-hearted and in despair, and when questioned, you've answered, "I'm fine," when you're certainly not? We can go around with a smile on our faces, pretending that we are okay, when inside we're falling apart. If we can't be honest about how we feel and accept each other in church, where can we be? So what can we do to help us live an emotionally healthy life? And what can we learn from Psalm 42? First of all, we need to acknowledge our feelings. I'm very keen on feelings because I'm a counsellor. Like the psalmist, it's a good idea to acknowledge our feelings and talk about them to God or other people. Bottled up feelings can cause problems if they're not dealt with. If we keep blowing air into a balloon and do nothing to release it, eventually it will explode. In the same way, if we keep suppressing strong feelings such as anger, eventually it will become too hard to hold in and we will explode, usually when we're not expecting it. And it usually lands on someone that we don't really want it to land on as well. Suppressed feelings can lead to mental health problems. So if someone you trust asks how you are and you're not fine, why not tell them? And if someone tells you how they're really feeling, don't panic. Listen to what they have to say. Try to understand and show compassion and friendship. We can often feel overwhelmed when someone tells us how they feel and that it's our responsibility to fix their problems and find a solution. It's not possible for us to go around fixing everyone's problems, but we can show love, care, and support, and we can pray for them. So what else can we do? Remember the good times. In Psalm 42, the psalmist expresses many different emotions. He talks about how low he feels in the present, but then he remembers in verse 4 how joyful and thankful he felt in the past. He remembers God's faithfulness in the past to encourage him in the present. This morning we were singing with the children, weren't we, about counting our blessings. Recalling happy memories and focusing on things that we can be thankful for can lift our spirits when we're feeling sad and low. Sometimes we can be so downcast that we wonder if we'll ever feel happiness again. But feelings do change, and who knows how we'll feel tomorrow? Just because we're feeling miserable today, it does not automatically follow that we'll feel miserable tomorrow. A good strategy is to try and think of three things that we're thankful for before going to sleep, and this can lift our mood. Paul, in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, says, "Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Positive thinking is a very popular idea in modern psychology, but actually Paul recommended it first. Feelings can be confusing. Have you ever felt low or bad, but you can't put your finger on what's wrong with you? In verse 11 of Psalm 42, the psalmist tries to work out why he's feeling so low and says, "Why are you downcast, O my soul?" When we moved to Frimley in 1995, I felt really low. And looking back, I was probably depressed but didn't realise it. This went on for about 2 years, and I couldn't understand what was wrong with me. Like the psalmist, I kept questioning why I was so downcast. Because I felt so low, I also felt that this meant that I wasn't a very good Christian, because, of course, Christians are supposed to be rejoicing in the Lord and always be happy. So then I added feelings of guilt to feeling low and felt really bad about myself. Looking back, I now know that I was probably just homesick and sad because I was missing my friends and all the things from where we used to live. If someone had just explained that to me, that I was homesick and that in such circumstances sadness is normal, I would have instantly felt better and saved myself a lot of misery. So understanding why we're feeling as we do and that this is normal for the situation we find ourselves in can really help us to cope. Feelings are not always reliable. Although feelings are useful, they are not always trustworthy, so don't always rely on them. For example, imagine someone, and let's call them Fred, goes to work on a Monday. and their boss speaks to them about a mistake he's made. So this is very upsetting. Fred immediately feels low because of the mistake, and he feels very bad about himself. Although the rest of the day goes well, and Fred achieves many good things, the feelings from that moment in the morning persist. Fred goes home, and instead of enjoying the evening, he keeps remembering what happened at work, and he still feels low. The rest of the week goes well, and some very positive, encouraging things happen. But Fred doesn't notice them, and he doesn't think about them, and he can't shake off the low feeling. And at the weekend, Fred meets a friend who asks him how his week has gone. "Oh, I've had the most terrible week," said Fred, "and I feel so bad." But we know that Fred has not had a terrible week at all. He made a small mistake on Monday, but the rest of the week has been fine. However, by constantly thinking about what happened and not putting it into perspective, he has allowed the feelings of a few moments on a Monday to influence how he has felt the rest of the week. If, like the psalmist, Fred had examined himself and changed his thinking, that would have changed his feelings. If, like the psalmist, he had got the incident into perspective and thought rationally about it, he would have felt much better. I think that as Christians, we can sometimes be like Fred. We're prone to focus on our failings. We know that we've fallen short of God's standards, and this brings feelings of inadequacy and despondency, and this can affect our mental health. Christians can be very good at feeling bad and beating themselves up. And I have to say, when I'm counselling, this is one of the biggest issues I ever deal with, is people beating themselves up and feeling bad about themselves. The wonderful news is that we read in Romans 3, verses 23 and 24, that God knows we have fallen short of his standards, but he is gracious and has forgiven us. Sometimes forgiving ourselves is much more difficult. Our feelings tell us we should feel bad. But in John chapter 3, Jesus says that he didn't come into the world to condemn us, but to save us and to set us free from feelings of condemnation. And in Psalm 103, verses 11 and 12, we read, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us." So let us focus on the truth of God's word and not rely on how we feel about ourselves in relation to him. So in conclusion, I mentioned the Every Mind Matters advert at the beginning, and the website connected with that has a lot of really good ideas to help with mental health. One of its key messages is that if you are struggling with mental health problems, that we are not alone. And that's the message that I want to leave with you today. We are not alone because we are part of God's family. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, we love and care for each other. We are not alone because we can tell God how we feel. He has made us to have emotions, and he understands. Verse 8 of Psalm 42 says, "By day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life." God is always there with us, no matter what we're feeling. We are not alone because God loves us, and unlike our feelings, he does not change. He is a faithful God who is trustworthy and reliable. We can depend on him. Psalm 139 says, "We are all fearfully and wonderfully made." Whatever our physical or mental health, God loves us just as we are. And finally, We are not alone because no matter how we feel, whether it's good or bad, just like the psalmist, we can choose to put our hope in God. We can encourage our souls not to feel downcast because we rely on the truth of God's words and not on our feelings. And then we can say like the psalmist, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God."